Welcome to Chef to Chef from Kigaman, Australia, traditionally brewing soy sauce for over 300 years, delivering instant umami. In this podcast series, we're talking to leading industry figures about food service in the much-touted new normal. How does the industry get back on track? Gary Johnson has over 30 years' experience in restaurants, pubs, and international hotels, and is national executive chef of the ALH Group, which has over 340 hotels around Australia. Gary Johnson, welcome to Kikkerman's Chef to Chef. What's the feeling right now about how you think it's going to progress?
Look, I think it's probably a mixture of intrepidation and excitement at the same time. People are definitely out and about. Our pubs are much busier than what we thought they would be. We launched Darwin as a bit of a test case because they had nothing going on up there as far as COVID cases were concerned. So they were the first horse out of the box, and they got swamped in the first weekend, and then after that it kind of mellowed out a little bit and then swamped on the weekend again. But businesses kind of come back to a nice level where they're probably sitting around about 90% of capacity. And of course, we're seeing similar habits now with a lot of our other hotels all around the country. So exciting times ahead, I think, really, to get out and about again.
And is it the same clientele coming back, or is it mainly young people coming back with older people less enthusiastic?
It's a good question. I think pubs are for all generations, and I think what we're seeing now, and even when I walk down, my office is just here near Oxford Street, 152, and looking through there today, it was a real potpourri of, I suppose, age groups and generations and all walks of life. So it was just really good to see the place buzzing and people enjoying themselves, eating, drinking, and it was only lunchtime, so plenty of the day rest to go.
Looking at things, how difficult do you think it's going to be to achieve sustainable profit margins in this pandemic era?
I'm speaking from a large corporate pedestal, and in saying that, we are kind of lucky in the sense that we've got some heavy lifters, we've got some, and some retail enablers, as we call them, but we mitigate the risk and loss over the diversity and the enormity of that group. I think if you were a privateer or an independent operator, I think you need to be a little more, I suppose, resilient, a bit more street savvy, and definitely a different kind of energy, because it's a testing time and one whereby you've really got to evolve, you've got to think on your feet, and you've really got to make decisions hard and fast. You know, it's a case of, I suppose, you snooze, you lose, but you can't afford to procrastinate, because that'll only become the thief of time.
When you talk about heavy lifters, are you talking about bigger pubs with several different areas compared to, say, a smaller operation who've obviously got bigger problems?
Correct. That's just probably a bit of an internal nickname. We call them heavy lifters, but they're our bigger pubs, I suppose, and they're probably the ones that are the most difficult to start up again, because they do need volume and they do need team members to operate. It's not a one-person band by any means.
Talking about team members, you've got 1,100 odd chefs. What sort of contact have you had with them during the lockdown?
I prefer to look at things from the bottom up, and I'm very much in a support role. These guys, they're the ones that do all the hard work. I support them in their role, we support them in their business, and we make sure that they've got everything they need to do what they do best, and that's to be at the front line and keep our customers happy.
How positive do you think they're feeling at the moment?
Pretty excited. I think most of the team members that I've run into and most of the pubs that I've been through, everybody's quite relieved to be back at work, because I think when we all went into COVID, it was uncharted waters. Even our leaders were a little bit lost at sea. And I remember something that Scott Morrison said in the very beginning, and even I think he was a little bit confused, although very determined. He mentioned that he had health departments giving him industry advice and industry people giving him health advice. So he said, sooner or later, I'll work it out.
Do you think menus in pubs are going to have to change, or will change following this situation?
one of the things that we did immediately when we knew that obviously all our pubs were closing, we cleaned them all up, we shut them down, we did all that, I suppose emptied the fridges, donated food to charities and all that kind of thing. But we also began to plan for the future. Inevitably, we would reopen. In what capacity? That was yet to be determined. But we also knew that when we went into it, the restrictions came on gradually through stages, and we thought, and obviously was confirmed, that those restrictions would be alleviated also through stages. So we then divided up our menus into three reduced stages, stage one, two, and three, obviously. I release those menus into the field and back into the business as those stages are presented to us. And obviously with the business being able to have more customers, we have more variety in the menu and we have more team members to execute that as well.
Is there a temptation though to use cheaper ingredients because simply you need to make more money?
On the contrary, in actual fact, there's probably more emphasis on retaining the integrity and the quality of our ingredients and also our business. I mean, people are coming back out, although they're quite excited to be a part of, you know, the pubs and you know, being back with their friends and having something to eat and drink. You can't pull the wool over their eyes. So we will continue to drive value and trusted value in our business. And that's very important because one of the things I believe we need to rebuild with our customer base is that trust. Trust in the fact that, you know, we are clean, we are COVID safe. And if anything, we've had an elevated consciousness of our cleaning regimes and of course how we need to operate those businesses. We all shook hands, we had a hug, all that kind of thing, but now we've taken things to another level. So we need to give that back to our customers as well as rebuild the trust in the products that we offer.
But of course, the increased cleaning, you've got to go to greater level and it costs you more money, doesn't it?
It does. It costs us more time. It costs us more money, but it's not forever. I'm hoping that by Christmas time, social distancing is a thing of the past. I also think that, whilst we were possibly even in society in general, just a little bit complacent about that, you know, interaction, that social distancing and how we all took possibly some of those interactions for granted, because now it's really opened our eyes to the fact that if and when a pandemic does occur, we've got to be a little more careful. So I think it's a good thing. I think it's really helped us to realise that we need to clean up our act in many areas.
Looking at the menu, is the $10 special or whatever, is that now a thing of the past, or at least for the time being?
Look, for the time being, because of the limited numbers of customers as well as team members in the business, we're not focusing so much on, reduced specials to drive sales. In actual fact, our problem is we're turning people away because of those restrictions. So where we can only have 20 people to a zone, or we can have 50 people in the venue, that's our issue at the moment. So I think when we get back to full capacity and obviously all other restrictions have been lifted or alleviated, then we'll fall back into our business and possibly driving better value and of course some great bargains for our customers as well.
Does it mean in the short term at least that you've got to increase prices even just a bit?
We haven't increased prices, no. Our suppliers haven't increased prices. Whilst we may have experienced a drop in sales, we've cut costs where we possibly could. And look, we're in business for the long term. It's not like we're going to put it on the market next week. So where we have, literally taken a bit of a kick in the pants, we will definitely recover by the end of the year, if not sooner.
What about portion sizes? Would you think, contemplate at least reducing portion sizes, or do people expect to get a real plateful?
It was something that we considered, especially in our buffet restaurants. It's what we return to for our customers that will also rebuild that trust. So I think if we start mucking around a little bit too much with the formula that we knew that was good before COVID, if anything, when we return, I think it's being able to come back as close as we can to that normal, with obviously an elevated regime or cleaning schedule around our businesses to ensure that we're also COVID safe and trusted by our customers in that space.
How important in the future is waste going to be, and trying to absolutely minimise that?
Well, waste is always, I suppose, one of those things that we're very conscious of. And look, it's whilst putting our menus together may seem reasonably convoluted, it's complex in the sense that we try to minimise the waste through the structure of those menus. And, you know, we don't have one ingredient that appears in one dish on one menu. I often say that, you know, my analogy in writing the menus and putting those ingredients together is like throwing 10 balls in the air and catching them a different way every time. So that way, you know, you're using, let's say, avocado could be in a sandwich, as much as it's in a dip, as much as it's in a side dish, or it could form the part of the garnish for a salmon or something, some other dish or something else in the menu. But it doesn't just appear once. So that way we don't have as much of a wastage problem because we're turning over ingredients all the time.
How do you think the fact that during the lockdown that more people have been cooking at home and experimenting, do you think that's likely to change what they think when they come into a pub and order a meal?
Well, I can honestly say that I've been a victim there too. My wife has been doing a lot of baking at home, so I have put on a couple of kilos during COVID. but I think it's fantastic because it just means that, you know, good food and entertaining and what better way to spend time together as a family than to share those meals. So I think it's kept food and entertaining at the forefront, and probably one of those things that we all missed very dearly during COVID. So I don't think it's moved the dials or the expectations so much. In actual fact, some people may be very happy to escape that and get back to the pubs and have a Parmigiana or something else they're more familiar with.
Looking up to Christmas, how important is this Christmas 2020 going to be to the pub industry?
We've missed out on some pretty big days, and Anzac Day, Mother's Day, I mean, you know, the two that come to mind, which are normally those shining lights in some reasonably dull months at the beginning of the year. So Christmas to us, and I'm hoping that we kind of get a little bit of a kick on through Melbourne Cup as well, will be imperative that we are able to not only have some big days during those holiday periods, but also that we're allowed to have some functions and some banqueting to go with that as well.
And as numbers increase, obviously you've done some staff training. It's going to be a thing you've got to stay on top of.
Every country seems to be different at the moment. I hear, you know, some countries are 2 metres, we're 1.5 metres here. I mean, some countries are only a metre. So can we get back to, 10 centimetres? I'm not so sure, but at least it's heading in the right direction. And I also think that as soon as we have a vaccine and we're down to like zero cases, e.g. New Zealand, then we can relax those laws a little more and get back to having some fun times.
And looking ahead to 2021, how do you see your industry going?
I'm hoping that our industry continues to boom. I suppose I've also had the belief, and it's been proven on numerous occasions, that when the country is going really well and everybody's happy, they go to the pubs to celebrate, have a punt, have a beer, have something to eat, join their friends. When the country's not so good and the economy's a little bit rough, we still go to the pubs to commiserate and possibly, you know, gather with friends and have a bit of a chat and drown our sorrows. So, soak it up with a good Parmigiana as well. But I think in saying that, you know, pubs are part of the vernacular of our society. And I also believe that, good times, bad or ugly for that matter, they will always be a part of it. And we all will have our corner pub. We all have our place to go to meet up with friends and family. So I think we'll continue to grow. I think we'll continue to build and become stronger and hopefully better than we were before we went in.
Long may it be that way. Gary Johnson, thanks very much for talking to Kickerman's Chef to Chef.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And one of the key messages there from Gary in Brisbane, in tough times, serving quality food is even more vital to success, and that means using quality ingredients. Next time, we talk to Tony Twitchett, executive chef and general manager at the Transport Hotel, Taxi Kitchen and Transit Rooftop Bar in Melbourne's Federation Square. It's a buzzy place in the heart of the city, so how's it travelling? Find out in the next Kickerman's Chef to Chef.